Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Yodog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider here in a few moments. See Vancouver starting to win just at the right time. Just to get out of the Bedard sweepstakes.
Crazy.
Now they're going to win.
You got to somewhat be happy for those guys, though.
I wouldn't be if I was a fan.
Well, if you're a fan, you're like, you just took yourself. You could have went the other way.
Right.
But they've already got Pettersson. They've got Quinn Hughes. They've got different pieces there. I'm happy for them. Well, I'm happy for Rick Tocchet going in there. Their goaltender's back. And I said to somebody the other day, they're looking like a hockey team right now.
Well, as opposed to
not even close. When Jimmy said major surgery, now they look like a professional NHL team.
And you know what they'll do? They'll convince themselves that they are, and now it won't be major surgery, and the same thing will happen next year.
Well, then we'll lose it if that happens. On a personal note, like, Pettersson's had his best year, and so I think Hughes break the record.
Hughes's been really good.
Like, he's been, yes. but he needs help. Like, they brought in that Hronek. I think that Hronek might be a player. Watching him from Detroit, like, he's a 25-year-old solid defenseman, but the timing of it stinks, because if you are in a situation, how good, even if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, you've gone through the pain of injuries and inconsistencies, you've fired Brucey, all of that stuff. It's been an absolute PR nightmare for the Canucks this year, mostly like on the ice and off the ice. Because they've had some stuff happen off the ice, too. Mm-hmm. That being said, if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, you're probably going, we got a chance at potentially at the kid from our backyard.
That's the whole point, Noodles, is I have seen this. This is flashbacks of the Leafs. Now, they have better players than the Leafs had at that point. Mm-hmm. Pettersson in particular, Quinn Hughes in particular.
Right.
But I remember saying this a couple of weeks ago. They'll run off a 15-4 stretch.
10-12.
And what they'll say is, oh, next year we're up for the President's Trophy. We'll just extrapolate that. It doesn't work that way.
I'm going to say,
doesn't happen.
I usually agree with your approach, but it's a big offseason for the Vancouver Canucks, and I think they're going to make the playoffs next year.
You think they're making the playoffs?
100.
Hunch. Well, you got it. Who's coming out?
Well,
who's coming out?
I don't care.
Now, the wild card teams are not that good. Winnipeg's going to get in by default.
Thank you very much.
The Winnipeg Jets
are going to have playoff hockey, or the Vancouver Canucks will be playing playoff hockey in Vancouver
and
next
Seattle
year.
Might have a reset. Like, there's, you know,
there you go.
We can't, listen.
There you go.
I can't even tell you what
he just loves to be negative. That's
no,
what he does.
I like to be honest. I like to be objective.
He's not. Listen, in this situation, he's not wrong from a fan's perspective. The fans out there are going, okay, fired the coach. It's been a terrible season. You know, Demko was supposed to be out for 6 weeks. He was out for like 4 months, 3 months. Like it didn't go well.
I think the same as you, Hayes. And if they're garbage next year, and if they're in last place at Christmas time, I'll say,
but they're not going to be in last place.
You fool me again, and shame on me.
They're too good. They were too good to bottom out this year.
But we said that
the minute the goalie came back, he's too good. And same thing, Quinn Hughes is too good, and Pettersson's too good. Problem is they need major surgery around them. And major surgery, not minor surgery, that, hey, we're close and we're just going to nip and tuck here. Jimmy Rutherford came out and said, we need major surgery. He also said, we've got to deal with some things, buyouts. Like, I'm thinking they're thinking Tyler Myers, and they've got to make some people
Ekman,
go
Larson,
away.
Ekman, Larson, you can't
they've
make
They've got to
go
make
away.
Some people go away.
Why? Does he got a lot left?
Yeah,
he's got 4 years
left. 4 years
left.
Think it's almost $8 million.
Or something.
Yeah, they're stuck with him.
But the point being is, they're in no man's land because they're too good to be bad, but they're not good enough to be on that next level.
Exactly.
If they have health next year, a goalie that's healthy,
listen,
they look different.
You can't say it
with one statement. It's a massive offseason, and I believe if they can get it together, they're playing playoff hockey in Vancouver, and I'm all in on the Canucks.
Credit the players. Credit Rick Tocchet.
Yes.
They're not going to tank. They're going to show up and play. That's the point I'm making is, if you are a fan, you're looking at it saying, really, guys?
Now.
You're horrendous for 60 games,
now
you decide.
From a PR perspective, what's happening right now? it's doing a lot of people a lot of favors out there because...
I don't think it is.
You don't think people are watching that hockey team saying, no. At least this is something to be proud of?
I don't think so. I think if you watch... Vancouver Canucks fans have been praying for them to blow it up and tank for
years. I think your brain is... What's happening to your brain is what happened to Carlos.
No. I know I'm on the air, first and foremost, so I'm a step ahead of him.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're
saying. Vancouver fans are not stupid. They look at it and they say, this isn't good enough. I guarantee they're saying, great, win now. And now they're going to reset and say, you know what, we're actually really good. And they're going to fall for the trap again.
I'm falling for the trap. Before we bring in our next guest, I want to hear the full part of it, please. Play it from the beginning.
He hasn't really been able to respond well from it. And then... am I still on the air here?
Here's Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider. You're on the air with us, CJ. Welcome to the program.
CJ, has your brain ever melted like that doing a hit?
Yes, it has. It
was what?
It was a live TV hit, and honestly, I just went totally blank.
Oh.
It feels so scary, because like, you're just looking around, and I just deer in a headlight.
Did you not have a lifeline, or...?
I did. I was working at the other network, and my lifeline was Sean McKenzie, who saved my bacon in that particular instance.
So. Oh, so it was a ringside. I was going to say, it wasn't a second intermission biggest show in the history of the country.
So Sean said to you, like, how's the game going, CJ? And you were just like,
big gulp, say?
Yeah, exactly. I literally couldn't come up with an answer, and he saw my face, and he just jumped in and started talking about something and got us back to safe ground.
That's a veteran move right there. Yeah, we did not do that for Koliakovo.
No, we started laughing.
Yeah, we did.
We have an appreciation for it. We love it.
We love it. Yeah, and everyone does it. It happens, and Carlo had his moment to shine about an hour ago.
It happens to everybody. CJ, good. Didn't you do, remind me, wasn't it you and I, your first like TV hit on the NHL Network? Wasn't that one of them?
Yes, it was like in 1988 or whatever the heck that was. It was a long, long time ago.
It was a long time ago. It was like you and I... And I think Mike Kelly was hosting. Like there was a lot going on back there, and there was a winger, Dan Hynote, came on, and he was beside me, and the producer started talking to him, and he started answering the producer live on TV. I don't want to talk about that.
That is very difficult.
It was like, we're live here. We're going to have to swing out of this, but it happens. It's live TV. It's live TV, live radio.
It's all good. All right, CJ, let's make sure that doesn't happen, though, this time, all right? Let's see if we can get through this seamlessly. As for where the Leafs are at, home ice is effectively declared now. They're 7 points up. They have a game in hand. They still play Tampa, the second last game of the season, but very likely at that point everything will be solidified. So what do you think the plan is here for Sheldon Keefe and company for the remaining 9 games?
Well, I think at some point they'll probably start to get a little more continuity in the lineup. You know, the one takeaway I've had from watching the last stretch and is, you know, obviously we understand they have all these defensemen, new players, they're trying to work things around. But, you know, there hasn't really been a consistent lineup. Now, you know, they've done okay. They got some results over the weekend. The big boys are rounding into shape. But I would think as we get into this last stretch of 8 or 9 games that, you know, at some point, Sheldon Keefe is going to want to kind of settle on a particular look that he feels comfortable with going into the playoffs, because it's, you know, as crazy as it sounds, it's 3 weeks today that the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, and so it's you know, not that much time really for the final tune-up, and maybe if there's a positive here, and you know, we know never to take the Lightning for granted, but they've really struggled the last month, and you know, so it's probably two teams looking to find their best game here in these last few weeks before they play it for real.
CJ, do you think Matt Murray gets one more crack to make an impression? He's such a fascinating guy because of the fact that he's won Stanley Cups in the past. And to me, I keep waiting for that game where I'm like, man, that's tough to turn away from him and him being your guy. Do you think he gets one more crack? And if you could somehow put some kind of odds on him taking advantage of it?
Whoa, that's a tougher one. I just don't know if he's going to be healthy, right? I mean, we've certainly seen him play some good games and good stretches, but he's also missed the big chunk of the season with various injuries. I think he gets another crack, though, and I would expect we'll see him play in the playoffs, too. I'm kind of thinking we'll see both of these guys, you know, right off the bat in the first round, and you know, it'll just be about who can maintain the net and then obviously how much success the team has. You know, but Murray has been a little better lately. I'm with you, though. You haven't maybe seen these games or like, okay, he's got to be your guy. And I think especially given that there's a strong likelihood now that game one's played at Scotiabank Arena, you know, I'm not one to put too much into home road splits, but it's hard to ignore all the success that Samsonov's had at home. And so you know, kind of the way I look at it, barring something unexpected happening, I wonder if maybe you just start game one with Samsonov at home and make your decisions from there, depending on how things go.
So there was an exchange between Sheldon Keefe and Michael Bunting yesterday. Towards the end of the game, Bunting, I don't believe, had another shift afterwards. Cameras picked it up. Keefe was kind of in his ear. Bunting at one point turned away and didn't seem to be paying much attention, or, you know, was effectively giving him the cold shoulder. What is your understanding of the relationship between Keefe and Bunting? What can we make of last night, and how might it apply to the final nine games?
Well, I can't see it as anything other than a positive in a strange way, just because Michael Bunting hasn't really played too well lately, and he's someone who, you know, I've talked to him about this. He needs to have an edge on to be at his best, and so I don't have any problem with him, you know, and Sheldon Keefe having a little bit of abrasiveness. I mean, we saw Nathan MacKinnon and Jared Bednar get into it, I remember, pretty memorably on the bench last year, and, you know, that's a star player and his coach, and those guys ended up sharing a Stanley Cup together afterwards. You know, clearly, I think Keefe is trying to get more out of Bunting. We've seen him sort of knocked out of a spot in the top six, at least a regular spot. And, you know, he hasn't had his best game there. And so, I don't think a little bit of confrontation is bad in this case. I'm sure that'll be something the reporters are all after them tomorrow when they're back at practice, just given the attention it's got. But, you know, for Michael Bunting, he's got to find that fire somewhere, and maybe this will help be the source of it.
What about the Morgan Rielly, we'll call it deployment, or, you know, the switching of the partners, and the way it was written up, I think, caused a stir. Just basically, I think Masters put the notes out, and it was Rielly and Shen, that was your third pairing, correct? And he could have...
Masters?
Yeah, Masters is responsible for this.
He's responsible for all this, because, to me, if you just put Rielly and Shen as the first pairing... I don't think it, like, I think it's like, oh, Shen's getting a little taste on that first pairing. The fact that he put it the third.
The demotion, according to Mark.
I think it rattled a lot of people. What did you make of it, and what do you make of the situation moving forward?
Well, you know, Mark can write him up whichever way he sees it. I don't think Morgan Rielly's on the third pairing of the team. Because the only thing that matters at the end of the night is the total ice time. And, you know, I know he played a little less in yesterday's game than he has this season, but, you know, it was back-to-back and all that. So, you know, I haven't known what to make of the defense in general. You know, I think it's been something consistent we've probably talked about the last few weeks, but, you know, just so much shifting. It's not just like you're trading out a third-pairing defenseman here and there. I mean, it's, you know, Rielly taking a seat for a game, Giordano sat for a game. There's really no flow there, and I don't know what their top six looks like, honestly. I don't know what the coaching staff has in mind. I don't know if they've decided on it. But, you know, I'm willing to say with high degree of confidence that Morgan Rielly won't be on the third pairing when the chips are down.
No, he's playing. I think what Keefe might be a little bit disappointed by is that some of the guys fighting for position, I would say all of the guys, none of them have exceeded expectations since the trade deadline and played so well where you say, I can't possibly take him out of the lineup.
Right.
And if anything, it's gone the opposite way. And I think Timothy Liljegren is probably the prime example of that. And this is where I do wonder if the human element comes into it. You guys can speak to it. Sandin and Engvall were his boys. Like, those are two Swedish guys leaving the room. They get traded out. I don't know if that factors into his psychology, but on top of
it, that league, Brian,
it shouldn't, but it doesn't mean it doesn't,
right?
But also Shen comes in, McCabe comes in, Gustafson comes in, like, competition is on his doorstep, and something's up with his confidence level, specifically handling the puck. The amount of times he has overplayed a puck,
but
it's actually getting ridiculous. It's like every single game,
but
a significant mistake has happened.
But let's be logical about this. Dubas brought in three defensemen.
Yeah.
Three.
Yes.
That's what he thinks of his defensive core at the deadline.
That he needed to do that.
He needed to do that. Like,
right.
That's to me, that was telltaling as far as
you. But you got to man up, Noodles. You know that.
I know, but
anybody, it's like, okay, this guy, I'm going to show this guy that I'm not coming out of the line.
That's what I think. That's what I'm saying.
To do it.
Where do you stand on that, CJ? Like, how Liljegren, Hall, I guess those two in particular have responded to the challenge.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been. I think Liljegren, if I'm guessing, it's more the competition aspect than even losing his friends. from the locker room, you know, as tough as that might be, you know, I think that he started looking over his shoulder. If you remember when the most recent set of trades were made with the defenseman, and McCabe joined the team and Gustafson, you know, Liljegren was scratched right away. I mean, the message was there right away that, you know, he'd had a pretty good year, I'd say, up until the deadline period and probably felt as though he'd established himself and had a role on the team. And it's not to say he doesn't have one now, but it's certainly been thrown into a little bit more question with the extra bodies and the more experience that they've brought in. And, you know, it hasn't gone well. And I don't know if that's entirely between the years. You almost have to think it is because I can't think of any other explanation. I mean, he had kind of really stepped up and been what I thought was, you know, they're the second pairing right shot option for them. And, you know, now, you know, it doesn't look like he's probably starting the first game in the lineup, based on the way it's gone since that time. So, you know, I think that's a big, big sign for me. And, you know, clearly what this team prioritized at the deadline was, you know, as Dubas labeled it, competitiveness, but it's also guys with experience that have been there before. And, you know, Liljegren still has not played very often in the playoffs. I think it was just a couple games last season.
With Chris Johnson, our TSN hockey insider, prior to having you on, we were talking about Vancouver and their latest run. I think they're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won a few games in a row. They look good. They look composed. Rick Tocchet is, you know, getting love, which he deserves. But I'm not buying it in terms of extrapolating what this means into next season. O believes that they're a playoff team next year. If they're a playoff team based on what we've seen, would that suggest, CJ, that they're not actually going to make significant moves? Because I think that would be fool's gold. I think that would be a mistake. I think they're still a flawed team.
I said significant moves this summer are needed.
And then on top of that, then they're a playoff team. Okay, CJ, where do you stand on what we've seen out of Vancouver and how meaningful it actually is?
I'm with you. I'm not buying it at all just yet. And
negative Nancy. Negative Nancy. Go ahead, CJ.
Look, this was a softer stretch of their schedule that was telemarked even before they fired Bruce Boudreau. They were talking about that in that marketplace, how it was setting up that they dump him just when they moved to an easier part of the schedule. It's not to bag on Rick Tocchet. I mean, look, I think he's a coach that a lot of people have been high on, and I'm sure he'll have success there, but I don't know that it's going to happen next year right out of the gate. And you know, they were looking at trading JT Miller at the deadline. They didn't do it, but I think that those are conversations they revisit and look at in the summertime, and they still have cap issues, big time. And you know, in order to get better, they're going to have to still, you know, move out some salary one way or another. So, you know, as O says, I think that there's going to be big-ish changes there. I'm not talking their main guys. You know, it's pretty clear Pettersson's had a fantastic season. Quinn Hughes has been a monster for them. It's good to see Demko back playing and healthy. You know, I think that those guys are safe, but around those players, I think that there's still change coming, and I don't know that they're one off season away in my eyes from, you know, really being a playoff contender again next year.
I think surgery, major surgery, has to happen, but wouldn't it start with a guy like Brock Besser? Like, it's, you know, I don't know how, and I'm not sure if you're privy to release that information, how close he was being traded at the deadline or not. But that would be a guy that, if you're talking about pieces or, you know, that was part of that core, wouldn't he be a guy you circle and say you can get some value out of him?
I would think so. And you know, look, my understanding, and I haven't checked in on this since the deadline, but right, he was welcome to a move at that time. I think the team was looking to you know, try to find him somewhere else to play. I know that certainly multiple teams had conversations with the Canucks, you know, about Besser leading up to the deadline. One of the issues was his cap hit, you know, for future seasons. But, you know, that could, you know, sometimes those trades are easier to make in the offseason, depending what other moves happen around the league. I think that at his age, 25 or 26, you know, he's still a piece that could be moved out of there. And, you know, they got to figure out what they're doing on their blue line. I mean, there's talk, you know, can they squeeze some life out of Oliver Ekman-Larsson? Are they looking to buy him out? I mean, what do they do with their blue line? I think probably will have more immediate impact on what happens next year. But, you know, this is a nice run, and I'll give them credit enough for that. I mean, you're winning the games you can play, but, you know, I still need to see a lot more from that organization before I think that they're on the path to where they want to be.
All right, CJ, we'll leave it there. Thank you, buddy.
All right, be well, guys.
There he is, Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider.
Throw in a couple, like, you forget, like that Mikheyev, like he's been on the IR.
Right.
But he actually, when he was playing, had a pretty good, like, start with them. The Russian, the Kuzmenko,
He's had a really good year. They re-signed him.
They re-signed him to a two-year, I think.
Bridge deal extend.
Yep. But
Kuzmenko,
he's getting good opportunities, though. He's playing with the big boys.
He's a hell of a shooter.
He's got a something about him where it could be a bit of a Semin type.
Alex Semin,
really? Where it's like,
you remember that guy?
I'm not trying to be negative about the guy, and his agent's probably going to send me a message. But negative. It just seems like
negative. I like that guy. I like him a lot. I think he's a motivated player.
Do you remember that?
It's going well for him this year, yes. But let's see him back it up.
I agree. And
that's all I'm going to say.
Sure. Yeah, of course. All right, Sam Mitchell coming up in 10 on the Raptors weekend. Scotty Barnes making a return. Gary Trent, it sounds like he'll still be out tomorrow. Kyle Lowry and the Heat are in town. They'll be tipping off tomorrow down at Scotiabank. So we'll get to that with Sam, among many other things throughout the NBA. And Gary Player taking a shot at the Masters.
Makes me sick. Ooh,
Gary Player.
Gary. Hate him.
Taking a shot at the Masters. We'll get to that next.